Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you care for the lost. You care for the hurting people, the lonely people, the bewildered people. And Lord Jesus, many of them may never even darken the door of a church. And yet, our Father, you've privileged us as a body of believers to enter their homes via the newspaper. And our Father, we dare to believe that the day will dawn when you will allow us to enter their home by means of television. And our Father, as we communicate the gospel, in the language that they understand, we believe that He, the Holy Spirit, will bring them to Christ. And in heaven there will be many brothers and sisters rejoicing because your people who are called by your name were committed enough to be concerned to pray for others. We thank you for that. Help us now with the study tonight. Bless us as we look at the Word of God together, and we'll give all the glory to Christ. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, and in my Greek Hebrew Bible, I love the heading, Victory. Victory in Jesus. Yes, victory in Jesus. Verses 13 down to 21 is entitled, God Listens to Our Prayers. Well, let me read it to you. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now you understand that, don't you? The Word became flesh, that's the Son, you see. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. It's the Trinity all in one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. You have it there, the Spirit of God in the Son of God, His baptism and His crucifixion. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now, why do we have that? Because John's gospel tells us that, doesn't it? He comes, he makes his abode within us. We have within us God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. They are beautiful words, aren't they? All around us, and especially at this time of the year, we're living in a world of uncertainty. We have many things happening, broken homes, child abuse, and all of this kind of thing confronting us, and violence. There's a lot of uncertainty. No other time in the history of our lives, that is, we are being confronted now more than ever with uncertainty. Some of us lived through the Second World War, and we know of something into the uncertainty there, but the uncertainty then is nothing compared to the uncertainty now. And I couldn't help but think about this as I was talking to the editor of the paper today, and he said to me, and this is how far he's come along searching for Jesus Christ, he said, the church has a golden opportunity now, because there is uncertainty through the Fitzgerald inquiry. There is uncertainty on every hand. And now is the time for the church to voice an opinion on the certainty of Jesus Christ. And we have a great opportunity. We really do. Now, the Bible teaches that God does not want his people to be unsure in an uncertain world. He wants them to be sure. The first thing we want to notice, God wants us to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our own personal Savior. There's no maybes. Every time I witness to Jehovah Witnesses, that's the point I throw them on every time. I know in whom I have believed. I know I'm going to heaven. They don't. So the first assurance God wants us to have is assurance concerning a person. And that person is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12. We'll look at a few, seeing we're over towards the back of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And here's Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, "For which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Against that day. Let's look at another one. There are several. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." Go over to 12:2, and we've been looking at that the other night. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Isn't that tremendous? Well, now, secondly, God wants us to know that all our sins are blotted out and forgiven. And I want to encourage you more tonight than ever before that your assurance in Jesus Christ is that your sins have been blotted out and forgiven. Sometimes when I'm in the deliverance ministry and the demon likes to throw the past up, my past, and on one particular night here about 18 months ago, one major demon really got aggro and started throwing all my past up. And every time it brought up some of the background, I would say, "That's under the blood." And the demon would back off. Under the blood. Blotted out and forgiven. Never to be remembered anymore by God. Remembered by Satan, of course. But never to be remembered anymore by God. And that is why today, as Christians, we can be perfectly free. For whatever sin we committed, when we come to Jesus Christ and we've been redeemed, it has been blotted out and we are forgiven. I think I was telling somebody the other day about when I was preaching in the open air. This fellow was drunk and he came along and there was a fairly big crowd listening to me preach that night in Bondi Junction in Sydney. And he started to yell and he said, you mongrel! And I let him go. He was one of my drinking buddies years ago. He drew me a crowd. And when I finished, I went over to him and I put my arm around him and I said, "Jim, you're so right. But there came a day when I met Jesus Christ and he cleansed me. Have you met him yet?" And he burst into tears. He said, "No," he said, "I haven't." When your sin has been blotted out, it's been forgiven. And we as Christians are to know that our sins are forgiven. What does 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12 say? "I write unto you, little children," this is writing to Christians, "because your sins are forgiven." They are forgiven you for what? His name's sake. So that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be exalted and without blemish. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he died to put away our sins. Let's look at a couple of verses, 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Go back to John 1:29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Going to hear a little bit more about that on Sunday night. The Lamb upon the throne, out of the book of the Revelation. Here's the Lamb. He came to be sacrificed. What for? To take away the sin of the world. So we can be sure tonight, as Christians, that our sins are forgiven. Now, thirdly, God wants us to know that we have passed from death unto life. Now, by nature, we are spiritually dead. There's no question about that. But when we are born again, we come alive. We are born anew. Go to John 5:40. And it says there something that we need to take to heart. "And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Right? Let's go back to verse 24, though, and see what happens when we come to the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, that's the Father, referring to the Father, the Son here, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Passed from death, that spiritual death, unto life. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all that all have sinned. And there we see what has happened and why it is necessary to be born again. You see, when Christians become born again, as John chapter 1, verses 11 through 14 tells us, but as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, or literally translated, the sons of God, the weos. Remember, I taught you about the weos here a little while back, the adult son, and that's very significant. Now, let's think what happened when we pass from death to life. The thing is, what I want to teach you tonight is that in passing from death to life, we receive Christ's life. He that hath the Son has life. Let's have a look at John 10:10. Our Lord's a good shepherd, and he says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And then go down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Let's come back now to chapter 5 of 1 John 11 and 12, where we read, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You can't get it any clearer than that, can you? In the first letter here, John reveals five marks of evidence of the new birth, the new life. We're going to have a look at them. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. You are going to see that there is this desire to please God. And it says here, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. And in that verse of Scripture, it means if we're right with God, we're going to please God. Come over to chapter 3 and verse 14. And here we see something that's really lovely. We know that we have passed from death unto life. See the assurance there? We know, positive, gnosko, we know. Because we love the brethren, and he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Of course, agape love here. But the confidence, the assurance, and the evidence is we love the brethren. We love the brethren. Go back just a few verses to verse 9 of 1 John 3. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, this means deliberately, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That word there is a very precious word. When we talk about the seed of Abraham, and I couldn't help but think of that blessed book as I prepared Sunday morning, when we have to go back to the Abrahamic covenant, has anybody ever taught you the Christ of the covenants? Where the Lord Jesus, in his pre-incarnate existence, is involved in the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the covenant of Noah? You've been taught that? That's magnificent teaching, because when you're going to understand the doctrine of election, you really need to understand the covenant. When you go back, like in this blessed book of Galatians, we're going back for the doctrine of election, we're going back to Abraham's seed. And when we get down to 3:29, and if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the blessed seed is very important. Let's have a look now at 1 John 5:1, and what do we see there? We see the sovereignty of God, that is, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him, also that is begotten of him. Have a look at verse 4, and it tells us something that every one of us in this room here tonight has. And that is, we have the power of Jesus Christ to overcome. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Overcometh the world. What an assurance that is for the Christian. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I'm glad it said that, because it doesn't indicate knowledge or theological knowledge. It doesn't indicate spiritual superiority, does it? Every Christian has faith, but it's the object of our faith is where the power comes from. Our faith and the object of our faith reveals that we have power to overcome. Fourthly, God wants us to know of his loving plan and purpose for our life. One of the quotations we hear a lot of from time to time is, concentrate on having the mind of Christ. How true it is, because we have come together in this church. It's been beautiful. The fellowship the last 3 months has been heavenly for me. What have we been saying as a body of believers? In everything we've been doing and in all of our prayer life, we've been saying, let us discover the mind of Christ for this local assembly. And it's because we have been praying and discovering the mind of Christ, I believe personally that God is pouring out his blessing. And he really wants to bless us. God's got a loving plan and a purpose for every life. Fifthly, God wants us to know that all that is happening in the world today is moving towards the fulfillment of his will, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall return and be King of kings and Lord of lords. We as Christians don't have to panic. You know, prophecy. Everything that's happening around us is a fulfillment of the will of God. And that's exciting. Scripture says things will increase, knowledge will increase, travel will run to and fro. And then what did Paul warn us about? He warned us about the seducing spirits, didn't he? About Satan and the demons. He said they'll get into it in the latter days. And it's coming in from every quarter. But we have the assurance that we have overcome in him. We have the victory in Jesus. One day we will see him as he really is. But also we will know too that all the unbelievers will see. And they will look upon him whom they pierced, referring to the Jews and those who crucified. That in itself is beautiful. Have a look at a verse which in Revelation 3:21 says something wonderful. Listen to this for assurance. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Isn't that beautiful? And to think, as humiliating as it is and as unworthy as we feel, that one day in Christ we will sit with him. So we should never fear, you know, if it comes to the day where we're on the block and the guillotine's just about to be dropped and chop our head off for our faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, we're going to die physically somewhere. So why worry? Because we know that one day we're going to see him as he really is, and one day we're going to sit around that throne with him. That assurance is for every born of God believer. And I can't think of any greater thing in this world. And when I get tired and when I get knocked around in the spirit world and when everything goes wrong, and things do go wrong sometimes, the one thing that I do have is the assurance of Jesus Christ, my Savior. And the other assurance I have is simply this, that every time I get thrown up against a brick wall and I get knocked down and I get kicked and the going gets tough, I know this, he called me for the ministry. Now, if I didn't have the assurance of that call, I'd be gone, because you can't make it on your own. So there are some blessed concepts tonight of assurance for you. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Glory to God. I wonder if a lot of people understand what that grand old hymn means when they sing it. I think a lot of Christians do, but I think a lot of Christians don't. Just sing the first verse of that and we'll break for prayer.